Today is the first full day of the New World Order. Outdoor gatherings are limited to 2 people. Exercise is allowed, but no further than a 10-kilometre radius from your home. Browsing in shops is not permitted. Only 1 person per household may leave to do essential shopping. And from tomorrow, funerals are limited to 10 people.
This is a world pandemic. It's a 1-in-100-year event. So you can expect that we will have transmission from time to time, and that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the new world order. We've got to accept that this is the new world order. This is the new world order. This is the new world order.
Today is the first full day of the new world order. The new world order. The new world, new world, new world order.
I want to be straight with you. There will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future. I repeat, there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
A vaccine on its own will not end the pandemic. Surveillance will need to continue.
It's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government. This is terrorism of the most worst kind, brought on you by our own government.
To lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
They're all going to have their one world order in hell.
Pardon? What was that?
I said they're all going to have their one world order in hell.
They certainly are. This is what they are telling the world. This is where they want us to be. The world is quickly advancing to the final stages of the Great Reset and implementing a new world order, as I've shown you in the video. There are still 2 competing ideas as to what this new world order will look like and who will implement it. One is the Luciferian world order ruled by Hasatan, and the other one is the Messianic world order ruled by Yeshua HaMashiach. What is apparently not very obvious to most people today is that the path to both versions of this new world order look very similar. Both paths see a reduction of the world's population. For example, the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the Book of Revelations, states that the population of the earth is going to be drastically reduced by Yehovah's judgment against Hasatan and those who worship him and his image. So we begin to see many deaths and the beginning of the reduction of the world's population, as we are seeing today as a result of those who choose to receive the COVID-19 vaccine shots and worship the medical system, which is represented by Hasatan's marks. It may appear that the satanic globalists are getting their way in implementing their plan of a new world order. But in reality, Yehovah is using them to accommodate his own purposes, which have existed since the foundations of the world were set in place. The kingdom of Yehovah, which is ruled by the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, in heaven, will eventually be set up as the political kingdom on earth as well. This is some of the most basic teachings of the new covenant presented in the scriptures, as well as the things Yeshua taught his Talmudim to pray to Yehovah. And he taught them to pray according to Matityahu chapter 6 and verse 10. Let your kingdom come, let your will or your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer will be answered in due time. One of the key things about this character, about the character of Hasatan the devil, that Yeshua HaMashiach taught us in Yochanan chapter 8, is that Hasatan is the father of lies, and lying is his native language. There is no truth in Hasatan. In Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Hasatan can only speak his native language, which is lying. He has to borrow, or better term would be pervert, truths of Yehovah to accomplish his purposes, because the truth of Yehovah's word is all around us and cannot be denied. Human beings, for example, are created in the image of Yehovah. Nature is part of his creation. Hasatan must take these very evident and obvious truths and pervert them for his own purposes. He represents darkness, and he is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. But he tries to appear as a fake light. And even the name Lucifer, terms used in the Satanic secret societies, such as the Illuminati, try to convey the meaning of light, such as enlightenment and illumination. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light." He's not real light, he just masquerades of it. "It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." One of the truths that is perverted by the Luciferian world system is the concept of race and equality, or critical race theory, for example. It's being put forward in our educational systems worldwide, even in Australia, and is a way to deal with inequalities within races. And while there might be some truth in this teaching somewhere, I cannot say I'm sure where it is, its overall purpose is to continue promoting class warfare, at dividing classes of people to oppose each other and to achieve the Hasatanic version of the New World Order that claims to right the wrongs of the past. But all this teaching does is to promote tyranny and slavery, leading the defined classes of the day to cry out to the tyrannical government leaders to save them, which falls right into the place of the New World Order that the Hasatanic globalists want to usher in. True equality of classes is only found in the new messianic New World Order, which is led by Yeshua HaMashiach, who saw only two classes. People defined by his dialogue with the Jews of his day that he was addressing in Yochanan chapter 8, where he said to the ruling Jews of his day, "Your father is Hasatan." And to the Jews who followed the faith of their forefather Avraham, he said, "The truth will set you free." In Yochanan 8, chapter 30, verses 31 and 32, it says, "So Yeshua said to these Yehudim who believed him, 'If you stay in my word, you are truly my taught ones, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" This truth is the equality of the human race, is independent of ethnicity, nationality, religion, gender, or any other way of classifying human beings. It is so basic and so clearly taught in the scriptures that most people just completely miss it and are easily deceived by the prevailing teachings of the day regarding class and warfare. I'm sorry to say this is true on both sides of politics. Some profess to be believers, yet their actions and words show that they are of their father Hasatan. And I don't know who you think of when I say that. And I'll say it again. Some profess, these are the politics of today, some profess to be believers, yet their actions and words show that they are of their father, Hasatan. And my can think of the top of our government in Australia who shows himself as a Christian but is actually from a different sphere altogether. If you can understand this basic truth, you'll be able to see through the many lies being mixed with the truths and the half-truths of today. It will greatly affect your view of the future. It will mean the difference between viewing the future with fear and giving up hope and thinking there is nothing standing in the way to stop the satanic globalists' implementation of their new world order, or looking to the future with expectation and hope, waiting patiently for the day when Yeshua fulfills his prophecy and brings about true equality and justice for the human race. That day is coming, and it may be sooner than we think. There is nothing hidden anymore under the new covenant. And as you know, there is more than one sect of Jews, some who belong to their father Hasatan, and others who follow Yehovah through Yeshua HaMashiach. The Kedavah HaShalakim writer Shaul was originally part of the Hasatanic Jews who was attacking and killing fellow Jews who believed that Yeshua HaMashiach was the Messiah. He belonged to the Jewish sect called the Parashim Shem, or the Pharisee sect, and he believed that his religious and ethnic class was superior to the classes of the people of his time. The revolutionary message of Yeshua was clearly a threat to his class and their status in society, since most of the people who followed Yeshua as his Talmudim were poor people and classed as outcasts of society, according to the Parashim. After Shaul's dramatic conversion, he became the ambassador to the Gentiles. Gentiles being non-Jews ethnically, he began spreading the teachings of Yeshua to non-Jews and called it the gospel, or the good news. A major foundational component of this gospel was the mystery, which was hidden in the past, was now made known to him. And that mystery was that all people can know Yehovah, regardless of race or ethnicity. And this is written to the believers in Ephesus while he was in prison. In Ephesus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, I'll read the whole lot. Because of this, I, Shaul, and the prisoner of Yeshua HaMashiach, on behalf of all you Gentiles. If indeed you've heard of the administration of the favour of Elohim that was given to me for you, that by revelation was made known to me the secret, as I wrote before briefly, in reading this then, you are able to understand my insight into the secret of the Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Ruach to his set-apart emissaries and prophets. The Gentiles to be co-heirs, united in the same body, and partakers together in the promise in Messiah through the good news, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the favour of Elohim, given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all these set-apart ones, this favour was given, to bring the good news of the unsearchable riches of the Messiah among the Gentiles, and to make all see how this secret is administered, which for ages has passed has been hidden in Elohim, who created all through Yeshua HaMashiach, so that now through the assembly and the many-sided wisdom of Elohim might be known to the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies, according to the everlasting purpose which he made in Messiah Yeshua, our Master, in whom we have boldness and access with reliance through belief in him. This is in essence the basis of the Messianic New World Order. All are equal in Yeshua HaMashiach. Ethnic groups have no special place, nor any other classification of human being. Yeshua's death and resurrection ushered in the new covenant, prophesied by Yirmiyahu in Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu 31, verses 31, which we read every week in this assembly. See, the days are coming, declares Yehovah, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. And the old covenant implemented by Moshe and the Torah was now complete in Yeshua HaMashiach. It was finished. What was finished? The sacrificial Aharonic priesthood and Pharisaical rule was now finished, and now the new covenant was implemented, because the sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach, which was the perfect blood sacrifice that fulfilled all the requirements of the Torah. The Torah has never been and never will be abolished. We still have it, and it is still extremely useful for our worship, for our code of ethics, and is the basis of most legal systems throughout the world today. But its requirements have been completely fulfilled in Yeshua HaMashiach, with his perfect blood sacrifice resulting in his death, which satisfied Yehovah's justice, and then his power over death, demonstrated by his resurrection from the dead. This is the mystery that has been revealed. In the gospel, it was key to the new covenant that Shaul repeated it many times in his writings, so there can be no doubt about its truth. As he says to the Colossians in Colossians 3:11-15, where there is not Greek and Yehudim, circumcised and uncircumcised, foreigner, savage, slave, free, but Messiah is all and in all. Therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other if anyone has a complaint against another. Indeed, as the Messiah forgave you, so also should you. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, to be filled with thanks. So who are the chosen people? We are. We are the chosen people. Those who follow Yeshua HaMashiach. Those who believe in him and accept him as the Messiah, regardless of race, nationality, or religion. Almost everyone hearing this today has been conditioned to feel guilty about some part of your humanity, whether it's your race, your family tree, your genetics, or your gender, etc. But we do not have to feel guilty about anything that makes us who we are. If you truly trust Yeshua and what he sacrificed for us, paying the price for everything bad in our past, then we are truly free. He created us, and he created us in his image. We have nothing to fear about who we are or what we are. It doesn't matter what other people think about us. It's none of our business. It's between them and Yehovah. We are now free not only to accept and love ourselves for who we are in Yeshua HaMashiach, but to love others as well, by forgiving them as we too have been forgiven. True love can never be understood apart from this incredible blood sacrifice that Yeshua made for us, allowing us to experience the love of Yehovah so that we too can then love others with that same love. We are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. But what I want to verify now is to show you how the proper seed interpretation of the seed of Hasatan eliminates class warfare. And this is the agenda of the critical race theory that our government is trying to implement on our educational system from the kindergarten, not just from preschool, but from kindergarten upwards. What Shaul says in Galatians 3:28-29, there is not Yehudim nor Greek, there is not slave nor free, there is not male and female, for you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you are of Messiah, then you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to his promise. The English word seed in this verse is very important. In the Greek language, the Greek word for seed is sperma, which we get the English word sperm. But in this context, this is a physical seed. Is this the physical seed? And the answer to that is no, of course not. Shaul's entire logic about the mystery revealed would completely fall apart if it meant a physical seed, because it would lead us right back to class warfare, where certain ethnic groups and other classes of people are more important than others. The seed of Abraham can only be a spiritual seed, which leads to the promise. We are not all of the physical seed of Abraham, although some are, but we are all set apart believers, are the seed and heirs according to the promise. We see this in the earliest pages of the scriptures in Bereshit chapter 3, which records the beginning of the human struggle between good and evil, between Yehovah and Hasatan. Hasatan was represented by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, where he convinced Hava to trust him more than Yehovah. As a result, sin entered into the human race, and along with sin, physical and spiritual death. But Yehovah made a prophetic statement then. In Bereshit chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And Yehovah Elohim said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all livestock and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you are to go and eat dust all the days of your life. And I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel.'" The enmity between the two seeds began very quickly after that. And it's actually recorded in Bereshit chapter 4, where the first two sons, born of Adam and Hava. In Bereshit chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. It's a long scripture, but I'm going to read it to you. "And Adam knew Hava, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And he said, 'I have gained a man from Yehovah.' And again she gave birth to his brother Hevel. And Hevel became keeper of sheep, and Cain became a tiller of the ground. And it came to be in the course of time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yehovah. And Hevel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yehovah looked to Hevel and his offering, but he did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth, and his face fell. And Yehovah said to Cain, 'Why are you wroth, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, is there not acceptance? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should master it.' And Cain told Hevel his brother, and it came to be when they were in the field that Cain rose against Hevel his brother and killed him. And Yehovah said to Cain, 'Where is Hevel your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's guard?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.' And Cain said to Yehovah, 'My punishment is too great to bear. See, you have driven me from the face of the ground today. I am hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and it shall be that anyone who finds me kills me.' And Yehovah said to him, 'Well, if anyone kills Cain, vengeance is taken on him sevenfold. And Yehovah set up a sign for Cain, lest anyone finding him kills him. So Cain went out of the presence of Yehovah and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Aden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Hanok. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Hanok. So here we have the first two brothers recorded in the history of the human race. And while the text is not clear as to why Yehovah accepted Havel's sacrifice but not Cain's, the point is clear that Cain did not do what was right, which would have made his sacrifice acceptable to Yehovah. Instead of changing his ways to serve Yehovah, he chose to murder his brother instead. Remember that what Yeshua said about the children of Hasatan. He said their father, Hasatan, was a murderer from the beginning. This is the very beginning, the fourth chapter of Bereshit. The murder happened in the fourth chapter. So this is the manifestation of the physical seed and the spiritual seed. There were two brothers, both born of the same parents. Same parents, same family, same ethnicity, same gene pool, even the same gender. The key here is what Yehovah said to Cain in verse 7. If you do well, is there not acceptance? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should master it. Cain was warned that sin was mastering it at his door, and he had to master it, but he didn't. Sin here is personified and actually represents Hasatan and Hasatan's seed. Cain failed the test. This is a matter of the heart and the mind, not his physical or genetic makeup. He failed the test, and his rejection of Yehovah allowed the seed of Hasatan to pass on to him and master him. This seed of Hasatan has been allowed by Yehovah to exist from that day forward. In verse 15, Yah put some kind of mark on Cain to make sure nobody would kill him, where it said, and Yehovah set up a sign for Cain, lest anyone finding him kills him. We see this lineage through the history of the human race. And we also see it in Yochanan chapter 8. For example, where Yeshua talks to the ethnic Jews of his day and states that some of them are the children of Hasatan. Even though their genealogy supposedly was passed through from Avraham, their forefather. This lineage or the seed of Hasatan had nothing to do with ethnicity, genetics, nationality, gender, or anything else. Yeshua only recognizes two classes of people, those who know Yehovah and those who do not. But these children, these people that Yeshua was speaking to were the children of Hasatan. Now, discrimination and class warfare exists today, and it's increasing daily in every aspect of our lives, whether it's in our work, whether it's in the street. You can listen to it. You can't watch mainstream media anymore because it is rife all throughout mainstream media. But there is only one way to eliminate the sins of our culture today, including racism, discrimination, and every type of class warfare. First, we need to recognize that all human beings are created in the image of Yehovah, and we all have a common ancestry. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, from whom all fatherhood in the heavens and earth is named." Fatherhood is our lineage. Second, Yeshua's blood sacrifice to fulfill the old covenant Torah applies to everyone, regardless of class identification. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, because in him all the completeness was well pleased to dwell, and through him to completely restore to favour all unto himself, whether on earth or in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of his stake. We need to recognise who the common enemy is. It's time to choose sides. Do you even know what side you are on? The next time you find yourself in a heated debate or an argument with someone on the other side of politics or the other side of the COVID spectrum that you are on, just look them in the eye and remember that they were created in the image of Yehovah. They are so valuable to Yehovah that he sent his own son, Yeshua HaMashiach, to die for them. Minister Malachi received that message very clearly from Yehovah when this current mask mandate was implemented, and he saw many elderly people wearing masks, and he was emotionally torn and wanted to tell them that they didn't have to wear it. But Yah spoke to him and impressed into his spirit that these masks were only temporary, but that the condition of their salvation was permanent. And this was more important. The Luciferian globalists are making their move now. At the same time, Yehovah is readying his angels to open up the seals and blow the trumpets prophesied in Revelation to begin judgment that will wipe out a significant portion of the world's population. Are you ready? Regardless whether you wear a mask or not, do you have the mark or the seal that Yehovah that shows which side you are on? We mightn't see our seal, but Yehovah sees it. He's placed it on us, whatever it may be. We don't need to take something that mankind is trying to force on people to see the mark. What we will see is we will see a lot of deaths in the next few years. And it's going to increase and increase, because that is Yehovah's plan for the Messianic One World Order. So those that are left will be the righteous ones, those who will dwell eternally with him. Are there any questions? Nope. So let's move on to the remembrance service. Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part was violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their people, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid, for Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Zevaot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam hamotzei lachem me'en ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Zevaot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, b'rei minei besimeim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
So if I can get some people to come out and help with the giving out of the... I hope we've got enough. I'm sorry. Put that back on. I hope we've got enough.
Thank you.
Anyone? There's one here. Come and get it. It's white. It's all gone. All gone. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that you sent your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, to lay down his life for us so that we can become one with him, so that we can be one in Mashiach. And Abba, we know things don't look good at this time in this world and what they are doing. But we also know from your word that it is part of your plan, even though Hasatan thinks that he's in control. We know that you are. And Abba, we give you the glory for being able to be one with you and one with the Messiah. And we take these emblems in remembrance of the sacrifice that Yeshua made, laying down his life, having his body broken and his blood shed, and rising again on the third day to be with you, so that we too could spend eternity with you. We take these emblems now in remembrance of everything that he has done and give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Let us eat and drink together. Malachi will now come and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English. The offering box is over to the side there. As you know, we don't take up an offering, so if you'd like to help with the support of the ministry so we can pay for this building, that would be greatly appreciated. There is an FPOS machine over there as well, if you care to use it.
Yeverekeka, Yehovah Yishmereka, Ye'er Yehovah Panavaleka, Ve'etuneka, Yisa Yehovah Panavaleka, Yasamaka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Tamar.
Wow, wasn't that an excellent message?
What was that?
It might have been I touched this, and I'm not going to touch it again to find out. We had a lot of trouble with our live stream and getting it out, and we ended up with three cellular connections all going through, and the system was switching backwards and forwards to try and maintain it. But we didn't actually get everything working stably until right at the beginning of Tamar's drush. Then it came good, and it stayed good right through till now. Yeah. So praise Yah for that. We able to got that message out. Yeah,
it's this mic.
Okay. We also, I noticed that there were 10 people watching live stream, or 10 log-ons live stream,
by the end of the message. So given that all of the first part of the service was basically lost, we got the message out, and I think that was an important one to get out to give us a hope and a purpose and to know what's going on around us. And it's all in Yah's perfect timing, the way it's all unfolding. All those that are evil have to do what they do when they think they can get away with it, which is what we're seeing now. And well, praise Yah, they won't get away with it, and we know that too. So take heart. In the end, we're part of Yah, and Yah wins. God wins, as they say.
Now, I don't know whether you know that Scott Morrison is actually a Master Mason, but I'm not too sure what level he's at.
Yes, many years ago we actually did a course with a Harold Jubri. His name just came back, and it was called Renouncing Freemasonry, and it was.
And I still do those courses if anyone has Freemasonry in their descendants, or you've been involved yourself. I can go take you through a course that will renounce all of that and set you free from all of that, especially women, because in Freemasonry women are treated badly and are looked down on, and they are cursed. And I had a cousin who was a Grand Master of the Red Lodge, and his wife actually died of mad cow's disease. Her whole brain went to mush in weeks. And I don't know whether that was a curse that had been placed on her or what.
Yes, each level that they go up, they have to take upon another curse and another curse, and it gets pretty gruesome.
And the oaths.
They mock the sacraments. They mock having the blood of Yeshua out of us and drink it from a skull. And it's,
so if anyone
and at the very top, they basically have got them completely obedient, brainwashed, and they're taught then that Yeshua and Hasatan or Lucifer is actually the one being. It's just a duality, pretend thing that they're. So it's that's the pool of resources that high finance chooses its administrators from.
A lot of the politicians are Freemasons.
And high finance, of course, that's Yeshua's warrant on that, was that you can't serve Yehovah and Mammon. And Mammon is high finance. That's the core of the whole thing, that everybody serves. We put our faith in credit, credibility, credit. It's all the deception that's gone right through. So,
and yet
the solution is quite simple.
Freemasonry is one of the lesser evils of our time compared to the Illuminati and what the globalists want.
Yeah.
Judiciary is full of it completely. That's how they get there. They climb up through the Freemasonry ladder.
Mm. Very good. Mm. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Bless you all. Have a great week.
I think we might be back in our usual room.
We'll be back up in our usual room next week.
This is a one-week
event.
Shavuot Tov.
Shavua It's a